The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Rick from Valencia, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 328 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show is, well, it's about a day or two after your birthday, but happy birthday, Michelle.
Thank you. I was very, very spoiled. Thank you for remembering. Yes. I was. Yeah. I have to say one of my favorite presents was I got a dancing Groot doll. So it plays.
I am Groot.
Yeah, it plays I Want You Back and it dances around, which is actually on my wish list. So thank you to Liam Scribner-McLean for that. But I also bought a new car.
Yeah,
that was me.
I bought that for yourself a good birthday gift.
Yeah, it was a great day. All right, Mike, this is pretty amazing because you know that the charity that we support in the Mickey Miles Podcast, we talk about it a lot, is Give Kids the World. And so on November 14th, a group of people raced for Give Kids the World. They raised a lot of money, and I'm going to name all the people who I know, and please forgive me if I've forgotten your name, but a huge shout out to everybody who supported the team, but a special shout out to Jackie Cabrera, Robert Schultz, Karen Skilling, Meredith Schechter, Dale Martin, Mary Jean Cancel, Monica and Gary Forote. I saw them a lot during the wine and dine race, and they came to our dessert party. And Terry Jo Fusen, and also Mark and Suzanne Brinkerhoff, who I know made a very, very generous donation. But Mike, did you hear that? Oh, and Marcy Holland, who helped coordinate the whole thing.
Yes,
thank
Marcy.
You. Did you hear that our team was the second in fundraising for all the teams in the gingerbread run?
Wow.
Yeah, so.
And there are some very special corporate teams that are in there, too.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
It was really amazing. It's they raised over $11,000, which means that a lot of families will be able to take their seriously ill children.
That's like four
to give kids
families,
the world.
I think.
Yeah, a lot. So huge shout out to all those people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so anyway. In other news, we also had people at Avengers Weekend, so we're going to be following up with a review from some people who were there, and there were a lot of Mickey Milers there, and they were representing the team.
We're going to be really busy over the next 2 months. We need to bring everybody up to speed on what's going to be happening on the cruise. Obviously, January is less than 2 months away.
Yeah, we have a lot of people signed up for the dessert party.
Dessert party.
Are you going to put that in the show notes, the link?
It has been in the show notes for at least the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There's also a lot more coming,
we
folks. There's a lot of stuff coming, and you begin to see some changes. You may have already noticed that we have a brand new theme song. And
we do?
Well, when you hear the show, you don't hear.
I don't listen to the show.
You hear some different music.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'd be nice. I know that someone, I won't mention who, someone has already asked where it comes from, but we're not going to say.
Oh, is that for the, I thought that was just for one show.
Oh, no, that's at least for a while.
Okay, so, all right. That's
I
good.
Hope, yeah. It's just upbeat.
You
got to
keep
everything.
Me in the loop here.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a production team meeting. And, you know,
I missed it.
We weren't there, so.
All right.
So, anyways, what we want to do, Michelle, is we don't want to let the questions get away, because the questions are very timely, and we don't want to be like another podcast that answers questions a year after they've been.
They're not too shabby. They've been doing it for 10 years now. One more shout out, and I just have to mention that all the help that we get from people, or it's all volunteer because, you know, we need people's help. And Alex Armas is always right there saying, what can I do? And he's very busy guy with a family and very active kids, and he is always doing a great job with the questions, organizing them for
and,
us.
And so. Also, I know we keep bringing his name up, but he's always there when we need him, Eddie McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, are we ready?
You go first.
Okay, the first question is by Holly Howard, and she says, Michelle and Mike. Did you see, Mike, how she got the names in the right order?
I'll have to talk to her.
Okay. My husband and I are driving down to WDW for 5 days in February for me to run the Princess Half. This will be my first Disney race, first half marathon, and first time staying on property. Ooh, I just got goosebumps. That's nice. Mike, you have always said very positive things about Port Orleans French Quarter, so I took that suggestion, and I'm really looking forward to that resort being our first on-property experience. What do you think, Mike? Is that a good one for your first? I think so.
I think so, because it's far away from the craziness.
Yeah,
and,
so pretty.
It's really nice coming back after the race to the French Quarter.
Spend some time, Holly, just checking out that resort if you can. Here are her actual questions. Number one, while I know my husband can go to Main Street in the Magic Kingdom to cheer me on during the race, the pictures and videos online make it look like it's really crowded. So is it even worth the effort for him to go to try to go to Main Street? If not, is there somewhere else on the course he could easily find me, maybe somewhere between miles 6 and 9, when I will need a boost? All right, Mike, I have an opinion about that, but you go first.
Okay, so we're talking about the half marathon. And so, Holly, here are a couple of things that you may want to discuss with your husband. One of the places that he can see you would be at the TTC just before you go underneath the monorail.
What's the TTC for people?
Ticket and Transportation Center. So when you run the Princess Half Marathon, there's a certain point, I think it's around the 4 mile mark maybe, where you're going to be running through the Ticket and Transportation Center parking lot. At one point, you're going to take a left. When you take that left, you'll be facing the monorail and the Ticket and Transportation Center, I should say. If your husband is on the left as you're running, he'll be on the left. He could see you there right after you make that turn. That's a great place for him to see you. The other place he can see you would be at the right around the Grand Floridian. So as soon as you pass him, he needs to make a beeline. Not monorail, but walk real fast to the Grand Floridian. He will probably be there maybe 5 to 10 minutes before you, but maybe even more depending upon the crowd and everything. But that would be the second place he can see you. After that, the only other place he could see you would be at the finish line. But those are two places he would see you. When he sees you at the Grand Floridian, I believe you're going to be around 8 miles, right around there, 7 or 8 miles, because the 6 mile mark, the 6 mile mark is Country Bear Jamboree.
Yep.
That's where the 6 mile mark is, and then you go outside the park and you'll be going down Cone Alley and past the Grand Floridian. So that's where I normally go to see Michelle when she's running the marathon and everybody else, and that's where I would go to cheer anybody with the half marathon. But here's another thing. As soon as he finishes seeing you at the Grand Floridian, he goes right back to the Polynesian or the Ticket and Transportation Center, take a monorail or a bus, whatever is available, to the to Epcot, and immediately make a beeline to the race finish. I'll tell you that when you're cheering like this, you're always on the move. So those 2 to 3 hours or whatever go by real fast. So good luck.
All right. So Mike's strategy, Holly, is to have your husband see you twice, one at the Ticket and Transportation Center, once at the Grand Floridian, and then he could go and see you at the finish line if he hightails it over there, which I think is a great idea. I'm going to make a case for him going to the Magic Kingdom, Mike, and here's the reason why. I think that for somebody who's cheering, and you and I have cheered at the Magic Kingdom, it is really exciting and fun to be on Main Street. Holly, when you run down Main Street, and I never get tired of it, it is a really magical, magical moment. I would recommend that he come and see you off at the runner gathering area before the race, and then as soon as you go to the corral, I would have him go to jump over to the Magic Kingdom and get on Main Street USA. The spot where I would recommend, we've talked about it on the show before, is right at the end of Main Street. You're going to be on the opposite side of the street from the plaza. And you're going to, he would be right where you turn the corner when you're going to run into Tomorrowland. And that's a great place because he can see you running a good distance down Main Street. And if you know that he's there, you can turn the corner, you can get your picture taken in front of the castle with the castle in the background, and then you can continue on your way to Tomorrowland. It's really exciting. It's really fun. You do have to get there early. It is crowded. But a lot of times what people do is they cheer for their runner and then they leave. So, you know, so there is some turnover in that area too. I like Mike's idea because he could see three times. You have to be very Walt Disney World savvy to be able to do what Mike is saying. But I think that if I were sending a family member, I would send them to Main Street. I just think it's so fun to be in the castle, in front of the castle, and cheering for everybody. What do you think, Mike?
I think, you know, you make some good points. So he would have his back to the castle. He would be on the left as Holly's running. Yeah. And as she's turning to the right,
yes,
to go over the Tomorrowland Bridge, he would then go back to Epcot
right
after that.
Yep, then he could still see her at the end of Epcot.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'd love to hear what you decide to do and you and your husband decide to do. Let us know. Hopefully our advice is helpful. Holly has another question, and it is, Mike, you have mentioned that you tend to drive to the races even though you stay on property. I have not decided if I should use Disney transportation or our personal car. Can you explain why you don't use the bus, and what's the best way to get to the race from Port Orleans French Quarter if I drive so I can avoid the road closures?
Okay,
oh, Holly. Oh, boy, Holly. Get ready.
Why I don't use the bus? It's probably from 40-plus years of going to Walt Disney World. But we have used the bus in the past and from French Quarter. I can tell you that every single race that I know of over the last 3 or 4 years, everyone has been complaining about the buses. This past Wine and Dine, you just don't know the traffic because the buses leave later than the cars. The buses go a special way, but, you know, getting people on the bus, then taking off, and then leaving people, it just takes a long time. If you have your own car, you have your own schedule and stuff. And you can also wait in the car if it's a cold February morning. So I prefer that. Michelle, I don't know if you prefer the bus or the car.
Well, I know, I mean, I don't want to speak for you. I know the other thing, too, is like you like to put your fate in your own hands and not the hands of the Disney transportation. I don't think it would work logistically if everybody drove, and I don't think that's what Disney prefers. But I think, Holly, if you are on, and we mentioned this, I think, Mike, during the last show when we were talking about Wine and Dine, if you're on the first bus, then you're okay. If you're on one of the first buses, if you're going to dilly-dally, and I'm sure, you know, being your first race, you're not going to do that. But if you're going to really take your time, you don't know what's going to happen. So I think as long as you make sure that you're on an early bus, for me, I'd rather be waiting in the runner waiting area. As Mike said, if you do have your car, you can sit in the car, which is nice too. But I always kind of get ants in my pants and want to get into the runner waiting area. So I think the bus is fine. We did hear some terrible things at Wine and Dine with people being on the bus for a long, long, long time. So I think what Mike likes to do is to put his fate in his own hands and be in control. And that's what I would say to that. So, Mike, would you want to talk about the best way to get to the race from Port Orleans French Quarter if she drives? Because when you drive, you always go early, too, for driving.
Okay, Holly, you come out of French Quarter, and you get on to Blue Bonnet Creek Parkway. So as you leave French Quarter, you're going to take a left onto Blue Bonnet Creek Parkway. I think it's Blue Bonnet Creek Parkway. And then you take...
Bonnet Creek?
Why do I call it Blue Bonnet? Bonnet Creek Parkway. You then take the very next right. You take the very next right, and then you cross over, and then you, and that'll take you on World Drive, and that'll take you to Epcot, and you're there. You could actually be there within about 10 or 15 minutes, and that should be it.
And, you know, I think that, Mike, you've talked about on WDW today, you're a master at getting low rates for rental cars. So I know she didn't ask this, but if she does rent a car, do you want to just talk for a minute about what you do to get the best rate?
Rental car rates have changed so much over the last couple of decades. In the past, the earlier you rented a car, the better deal you got. That doesn't work as well as it used to work. What I have found is that there is a, quote, sweet spot that I like to call it. I like to call it that you can get the best rates. And that sweet spot usually happens between 7 and 14 days before you're actually going to rent the car. What you want to do is you want to make sure, if it's a very, very popular weekend, that you secure one as soon as you can. And then you can always cancel it once you get a a better deal. One of the things you should look for is all the different opportunities for discounts. That is, I would go to mousesavers.com and see what Mouse Savers is saying. I would also check all the potential discounts you might have if you have something through where you work. AAA, AARP,
Costco,
mm-hmm. BJ's Wholesale, things like that. I will tell you that AARP, I believe, is just Hertz, but I'm not sure about that. And you want to be very, very persistent. So I would say a month before, at least a month before the race, get a car. Get one as soon as you can. And then every 2 or 3 days, check to see if you can get a better deal. Now, obviously, there are all kinds of rental agencies. Whichever one you prefer, and it's a matter of choice, because there are some that will say, this is your car, and there are some that will allow you to choose your car. The ones that allow you to choose your car, usually a little bit more expensive. I'm a person who likes to choose my car. I like to be able to go off the plane, get in the car, and take off. So I'm one of those people who really likes that convenience. Maybe I pay a little bit more, but then again, maybe not, Michelle, because this past Wine and Dine, what happened was that I secured a compact car, and it was through Alamo. I'll mm-hmm. mention it was through Alamo. And about a couple of days beforehand, they sent me an email and said, we would like you to upgrade. And I didn't want to upgrade. They wanted me to upgrade to a midsize SUV. I didn't want to do that. Obviously, they're not renting a lot of SUVs. But I went for it, and you know why?
Why, Mike?
Because they took $58 off the rental price.
Wow.
So I knew I wasn't going to use $58 worth of gas, so I went for it, and we had a very comfortable vehicle for the Wine and Dine.
You can honestly have a rental car podcast. You have so much to say.
So that's
all right, Holly.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Mike, the next one?
So the next one is from D.D. Herring, who says, hi, Mike and Michelle. See, she's got it right. About a month or so ago, I emailed you about my concern of being swept during the Jingle Jungle 5K. My name is Lynn. You read my email and gave me advice on how to get my speed up. I was the one who, like Mike, had gallbladder surgery. Slow my training down. Well, I wanted to send a follow-up. I did do the 5K, and it was a blast. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
That's such a fun 5K.
It was so motivating to complete it, and I think I've been bit by the Run Disney bug. 5Ks for now, as I work more on my weight loss goals, but who knows? One day I might be running alongside you all in a marathon. Anyway, here's a photo below with my first ever medal for anything athletic ever in my life. I am hoping for a shout-out and also a topic that you guys might cover in the future. I did get a giant blister on the bottom of my foot. I am diabetic, and reading up a bit, learned that we are more susceptible to certain injuries than others. Maybe there's someone out there you guys could bring on to give advice on diabetics about... Bring on to give advice to diabetics about what to expect and how to avoid these injuries. Or maybe one of you might have experience with this. Anyway, great show. Thank you, Lynn. That's a good idea.
That is, and I can actually think of some people. I love emails like this, and I want to offer you a huge congratulations. I think it's a great accomplishment. You got that medal. You can show people, and now you know you have your goal of maybe doing your next 5K 30 seconds faster, or maybe you're going to try for a 10K, but you did it, and a huge congratulations. That's great. I love it when people send us things like this.
Way to go, Lynn.
Yeah. All right, our next email is from Matt Gower, who says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike." Get that? So Matt's from Worcester, Mass. Not Worcester.
Worcester.
It was a pleasure meeting you both at the 2015 Wine and Dine Half, or the Wine, W-H-I-N-E, and Dine Quarter, as I've also heard it referred to. We had a chance to speak a little bit about the show, as well as my first running aspirations and inspirations. I always have a podcast ready to go on each of my runs, and it was so awesome to see the team in person. Currently, I'm preparing for the next leg of my first coast-to-coast challenge at the Avengers Super Half Marathon in Disneyland. I'll be taking part in the Infinity Gauntlet Challenge there to round out my Run Disney journey. As per your request, I wanted to reach out and offer you thank you to the podcast for keeping my feet going, and we may have Matt on the show. I actually talked to him about being on the show as part of his Run Disney experience. So I'm just paraphrasing there. Thank you again for all you do. I'll look forward to talking again. And then until then, I'll see you on the road. And I just wanted to follow up with something that Matt is talking about here, because his first half marathon was a half of a half of a marathon. We actually just got everybody who ran the Wine and Dine just got a note from Run Disney. Did you see what it said, Mike?
What did it say?
It said that race is counting for the Coast to Coast Challenge. So people who, completed it, the first idea was that they wanted the runners to be safe. But the time is counting as a 10K. They're counting the time. You can submit it as a 10K time. And it's kind of interesting to me, even though it was a little bit, it was a 6.8 or 6.7.
So anyone who did the Wine and Dine and went out to do the Avengers got the Coast to Coast?
It's counted as a Coast to Coast. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else Run Disney could have done. Could they have taken, I mean, most people don't plan to do a Coast to Coast two times in a year. You can't fight Mother Nature. So anyway, maybe we'll have Matt on the show to talk about being a new Run Disney runner.
The last question for this show comes from Chuck Smith. And Chuck says,
I think it's not a question. I think it's just a
update. It's an update or an email. I just wanted to drop you guys a note and say thank you for all the great advice, tips, and motivation on my running journey. I just finished my first marathon in Naperville, Illinois, after just starting running last year. I was well over 350 pounds in January of 2014 and made a choice to change my lifestyle, and that included running. I am a huge Disney fan and found your podcast, and the rest is history. I am around 220 pounds now and finished in 4:58.
That's awesome. Wow.
Which I could have never done without your great advice and guests that helped me on my journey. The next hurdle is going to be Dopey in 2017, he says, hopefully. He says, keep up the great work and can't wait to see you on the road. And that's Chuck Smith. And you know, Michelle, this is the type of note that makes it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
This is what...
That's in Lynn's note, too.
I want to hear Lynn as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we appreciate all the kind words, but what's nice to acknowledge is that all of these people who we hear from, they go out and do the work.
Yeah.
We may give them some things that may help them along the way, but that's very little in the whole realm of things, because they go out, they run. Look at what Chuck did. He lost 130 pounds.
Yeah, we
in
didn't
about
do
a
that
year.
For him. No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike. I know you and I talked about this a lot. We met a lot of people at Wine and Dine, and people were very, very kind to us and said nice things about the show. And we both said the same thing. You know, we can only offer the advice. You have to actually get out and do it yourself. And I don't mean to sound whiny, but the show does take a lot of our hours, a lot of our spare time to put together. And these types of emails make it all worthwhile. You know, I saw somebody else posted in our cruise webpage today. Tim Spicer was talking about his wife Constance, who didn't want to run, and today she ran 9 miles. So
wow,
it's people getting up, putting their sneakers on, you know, getting out the door, working on their first 5K, doing a marathon, losing weight. I mean, all this stuff makes it all worthwhile for me, and I hope it inspires other people to continue and to coach others. You know, as Tim Spicer is coaching his wife, and you know, to support others in any way that you can, whether it's on social media or you know, just encouraging your kids to get out there. So I love this type of stuff.
Every step you take, every training run that you go through, every day that you train, you learn. You learn what works, you learn what doesn't work, and you can take that knowledge and use it to better your life, better your lifestyle, and you know, help others. And
you know, yeah. I think you always have a choice. You have a choice of running or not running, or walking or not walking. I know that every time that I've chosen to run, I mean, and I've had some better runs than others, but every time that I've made that choice to get my rear end out of bed in the morning super early, it always makes my day go better. I have more energy. I feel proud of myself for doing it. You and I went out to run the other day.
I'm just going to talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that.
And
everything's successful.
And all of you out there, you're all going to start nodding your head, because a lot of you are going to say, oh, yeah, that happens to me. So Michelle and I got ready to run and everything, and we drove out to the place we normally run, and it was cold and windy. I think it was the coldest day of the year. I had gloves on.
Yeah.
When I have gloves on, it's cold.
It was, and more than that, it was just windy. We were being blown all over the place.
And we started going, and I said, I just can't. If it's cold, it could be 10, 12, 15 degrees. I might be able to go out and run. But if it's 25 or 35 and it's windy, no. And there are going to be times when the weather's going to be perfect and you don't feel like running. It's just one of those things that's going to happen. So for those of you who are getting into the running and may have had one or two days like this, it's very normal. I think it's a little bit...
More than one or two days.
Well, I think it's very much like when you work for a million years, you get burned out once in a while, and you need a day off, mental health day, you might right. say. So for those of you, again, this is just to say for those of you who are getting started in running, and if you find yourself doing that, don't panic. It's normal.
You talk to any runner, they'll say the same thing.
Yep.
I wanted to mention too, Mike, that even though, so I was more into running that day. We decided to run together. But even though we didn't run, what did we do instead? We made a choice to do something else.
We walked.
Yeah. So
we walked very briskly. We walked for an hour very, very briskly. But while we were walking, we said, well, we made the right decision. Unfortunately, the next day was a really nice day to run, but we had planned to run that Saturday. So
the other thing too is there were lots of acorns on the trail, so we were worried about.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Michelle, because for those of us who have had ambulatory issues with injuries and ankles and knees and things like that, find that little twigs can really be a big. A little twig is like a tree stump to me. Mm. So if I can't see, and the leaves were down, if I can't see what's under those leaves, I'm going to walk.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much, and we were saying, this looks like this may be the last, or one of the last, if not the last day that we run along this trail, and now we've got...
Not ever.
Well, between now and January, now we got to start figuring out what to do for January, because we've got back-to-back. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's it for
congratulations,
questions.
Congratulations, Chuck. Congratulations, Dee Dee. Thanks to everybody who emailed.
Yep.
Please keep them coming.
And stay tuned. We have a lot of interesting shows coming up.
We have interesting plans that we cannot disclose.
We have so much stuff to talk to you guys about. And
yes?
It's coming soon.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something.
No. Nope.
Okay.
So for Mike Scopa and So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. Thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.